Welcome to the Word at First Pres. For Lent, we are doing a sermon series called Breaking the Cycle, Discovering Our Spiritual Roots. This is a series that focuses on how we can bring balance to our body, mind, and emotions that often prevent us from experiencing our spirituality. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading tonight comes from Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I know this will come as a bit of a surprise to some of you, but I have actually never preached on Ash Wednesday in all the time I have been a pastor. Not once, not at this church, not at the last church I was in. And I know what you're thinking, Alex, why would you spoil a perfectly good record like this? But I didn't think it was fair. Judy's first day back was yesterday, so I don't think that would be super nice to be like, hey, why don't you preach on Ash Wednesday? And TC, he's been doing a good job, but don't tell him that. And he's been doing a lot with the youth over the last month. He's preached. He's had a lot going on. So I thought, you know what? I'll take one for the team, and I will put a blemish on my record and preach on Ash Wednesday. I figure it's a good opportunity to begin my sermon series for Lent anyway, which I usually ask them to do on my behalf. And our sermon series is going to be called Breaking the Cycle, Discovering Our Spiritual Roots. Now, this sermon series, it's really designed to talk about the issues and impediments that stand in the way of us experiencing our spirituality. And the goal, of course, is to help us locate those impediments and move past them. And some of you, I'm sure you're sitting there thinking to yourself, sounds like a strange concept for a series, Alex. But it's no stranger than some of the other stuff I've done, so come on, let's be honest, right? This is right in line with that. And some of you might be thinking, well, what impediments are you talking about? I'm glad you asked that question. So we have all kinds of conflicting and competing interests that are going on in our minds and in our bodies. And I want to give you a few of those. So the first one I want to talk about is our bodily needs. All of us have bodily needs. So you need air, which you're breathing right now. You need shelter. You need clothing. You need food and water, and you need to excrete that food and water. You need sleep. You need sex. You need exercise to keep your body going. And ultimately, if you get sick, you need medicine to heal. These are all bodily needs that are going on all the time in your life. You have to manage these all the time, every day. True? Yes.
True.
Okay, so that's one interest. Another interest that competes against that are the thoughts in your mind. So, you all have thoughts of things that you have to do, tasks that you have to do during the day, yes? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You also have thoughts about ideas, things that you might need to do for your job. I have to think about ideas for sermons, right? I'm thinking about ideas all the time. Some of you are thinking about your relationships with your family, your coworkers, your friends. So these thoughts are going around all the time inside of our minds, swirling. And underneath all of that are all these emotions that we have going on. And if you were to talk to psychologists, they would tell you we have six primary emotions. And those emotions are like this: anger, sadness, surprise, fear, love, and joy. Now, you might be looking at that and saying, that does not seem like a complete list of emotions. And it is not. There are many, many more. They span out from that. And the interesting thing about emotions, which I find to be fascinating, is that you don't just feel one of these. Sometimes you can feel one, but other times you can feel multiple emotions at the same time. Sometimes an emotion will slingshot from one place to the next. And the craziest thing about emotions is that a lot of times they're right beneath the surface. You don't even realize that you're feeling that emotion. So these are the primary competing interests that we have going on inside of us. We have our bodily needs, our thoughts inside of our mind, and our emotions. And what's fascinating is that these things, they drive most of human behavior. Most of our actions are driven by these things, and they're always kind of interacting with each other. I'll give you an example. Have you ever been really hungry before? Yeah. Like really hungry, you didn't have a meal and you were hungry for whatever, and did that impact your thoughts? Were you thinking straight? Did you have great emotions when you were super hungry? Were you like totally kind and compassionate? No, what is that called? We have a word for it, it's called being hangry. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Absolutely. We all have felt that at some point or another. I'll give you another example. If you're feeling sad, what will often happen is that impacts your body. It makes you feel lethargic. And when you feel lethargic, that impacts your thoughts. And when it impacts your thoughts, it prevents you from getting motivated to do the things that you want to do. So there you have the idea of an emotion impacting your body, impacting your thoughts. And then you can go the other way. Your thoughts, let's say that you're thinking about something that's going on, maybe it's something you're worrying about. You feel a lot of anxiety, right? The thought leads to anxiety, which then manifests inside of your body. Does this make sense what I'm saying? All of these things are constantly interacting with each other. And the fact is that most of us, this is where we live our entire lives. We live it with the body, going from the body to the mind, to the emotions, and they're all going around. Do you all know, have you played pinball before? You know what I'm talking about. Now, when you do the pinball machine, what do? You pull it back, and the pinball, it goes up, and then usually at the top, there are these things called bumpers, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like right up there, you see it? And what happens? It starts to bounce around like that. That is what's happening inside of it. It's just bouncing around the entire time, and it never really stops. It always kind of stays right up there. And that's a problem, because underneath all that stuff is your spirituality. And so we have to calm those things to get to it. And that's what this sermon series is really about. It's about calming those things so that we can access our spirituality, which gives us access to God, and ultimately will allow us to bring balance to our body, to our minds and thoughts, and then ultimately to our emotions. And I think one of the best ways to start this is with the scripture we read this morning, or this evening, excuse me. I'm so used to this morning. I thought it would be good, right? But it's night, I guess. So this evening, about Jesus is being tempted. Now, this story is a wonderful story because it has all of the elements that we've just spoken of. And I want to walk you through each of these things. There's three temptations in this particular story. So the first temptation is that the devil comes to Jesus and says, I want you to turn this stone into bread. Now, for context, let's just make sure we understand the context, and you probably got this from the opening litany, but he's been out, according to the story, for 40 days. And that number 40 is really important, right? That's a common number that we see. It's, of course, referring back primarily to the Old Testament, where we see what? The Israelites, they're wandering in the desert for 40 years. So the number 40 is very representative. Although I will say, and this is just a little bit of a side note, some of you might be thinking, well, that's not possible for a person to live 40 days without food. It actually is possible for a person to do it. In fact, it happens rather often. It all depends on how low your metabolic rate is. So if you can get your metabolic rate really low, then you're not burning calories and you can survive that long. The people who do it the most, and this has been documented, are Buddhist monks. They will actually go up into caves in the Himalayan mountains, and they've been documented to basically meditate for 2.5 to 3 months at a time without food. So that gives you a sense that it is possible. And I'm just pointing this out to say the human body can do amazing things. So Jesus, he's gone 40 days without food. He's pretty hungry, right? He's probably hangry too. We'll see. So he's hungry, and the devil says, look, just turn this stone into bread. Now, what is he appealing to? He's appealing to Jesus's bodily needs, is he not? And Jesus, he's hungry. He has to look past those things. And he says to the devil, humans do not live on bread alone. Now, I have never experienced that level of hunger. I assume you have not either. Is that true? All right. Now, I do a thing called intermittent fasting. Have you ever heard of that before? All right. Intermittent fasting, for those of you who are not aware of it, big fad, started about 5 years ago in the weightlifting world. And the way it works is that you fast for a certain period of time every day, and then you have a window in which you eat. So every day, I fast for 18 hours, and then I eat for a period of 6 hours. And the reason you do this is because after 12 hours of fasting, your body kicks in and starts burning fat as you go through it. So the idea is the longer you can wait after 12 hours, the more fat you burn. So I do 18 hours of fasting. That means I get 6 hours of fat burn, and then I get to eat. And I usually eat from 12 to 6. Now, when I first started doing this, I can tell you that when I got to noon to start eating, I was not in a good place. And I was really, really like, I was shaking. You know, I wasn't used to it at that point. But about 6 months in, I got used to it. And it got easier and easier. Now I can go to 2, 3, 3 o'clock if I need to. And I'm not angry, I'm not upset. And I can actually be there with people and I can be with them in the moment. Now, why did I tell you this? I tell you this because when it comes to our bodily needs, when those things are pressing on you, and you all know this because we've all experienced this, it's very hard to move past them. Like when it's there, it's like there, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like right in front of your face. You have to practice to move beyond those things. And so when Jesus is in that situation, he is practiced to be able to move beyond the physical needs that he's feeling, and that can be a big impediment to our spirituality. All right, second temptation. The second temptation is that Satan takes him to the top of the temple. Now, this is a reconstruction of what the temple would look like. You need a little bit of context to understand what he's talking about right here. So it was believed at this time that when the Messiah was to appear to the people of Israel, that he would appear at the crest of the temple. So at the very top of what you're seeing right there in that model. And what he was going to do was he was going to call all of the people to him, and he would raise an army, and he was going to create a new state of Israel. And so in this vision that Jesus has, he's at the top of the temple, and Satan says to him, or the devil says to him, throw yourself from the temple, and God will catch you, because God will not allow you to dash your foot against a stone. So the idea here, and this was a belief at the time, the Messiah, that God would not allow the Messiah to be hurt before the Messiah fulfilled the Messiah's purpose. You with me? All right. So the idea is the devil in this instance is appealing to Jesus's emotions. What is the emotion? The emotion is fear. He believes that he is the Messiah. But there is always a lingering fear. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I've been kidding myself. So fear leads to worry, and worry leads to doubt. And so wouldn't it be easier to just know for sure? So if he jumps off and God catches him, well, that relieves all the anxiety, doesn't it? It gets rid of all of that. But then Jesus says to the devil, do not test the Lord your God. Now, I will tell you this. Emotions are one of the biggest impediments we have to experiencing our spirituality. period. In fact, most of the time that we're going to spend in this series, we're going to spend on emotions. This is an emotion wheel right here. Bring that up. So you can't read that. I don't expect you to. But you're going to have that in your bulletins beginning not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And we're going to work off of this emotion wheel so that we can talk about that each week. An emotion. We're going to focus on that. And I will tell you that for me, my emotions stood in the way of my spirituality for a very long time. I had to go through a lot of therapy. I had to really work to allow those things to be pushed to the side in the way that Jesus did it. And it does. It takes a lot of work for us to be able to move past those. So we're going to focus a lot on that during this series. All right, this moves us to the final of the temptations. So the final temptation is that the devil takes Jesus to basically this large point so he can see all the kingdoms of the earth. And it says, look, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. Now, this is an appeal to Jesus' thoughts, his mind. And the reason why is because if he were to bow down and worship him, it would be a much easier task. Because if he rules over the world, the idea is that he can impose his will on you. He can force you to believe what he believes, right? But instead, he makes a different decision, doesn't he? Ultimately, the decision is the other road is that he has to go down and gives you the choice. Much, much harder. He says, here's the gospel. You can choose whether or not you want to follow it. And that choice means that it leads him down the road to suffering. And so this is the thought in his mind. He's got to balance. Do I go down the easy road or do I take the path to suffering? And he ultimately says to the devil, only worship the Lord your God. Now, saying this, I really think that our thoughts are a major impediment to our spirituality. Have you ever, and I'm sure you have, sat up at night where you thought about something and you couldn't stop thinking about it? Like you woke up in the middle of the night and you're looking at the ceiling and you just can't get it out of your head. Ever had that happen? I'm sure all of you had. Probably some of you had that happen last night. So the fact is, we all have this issue where sometimes our thoughts take over and that's the only thing that we can focus on for a period of time. If you're anything like me, I'll be walking down the street and some random thought comes into my head and then I can't get rid of it and it can actually wreck my entire day if I can't set it aside. And again, this is something that I've had to work on over time in therapy. Now, the point being that within this story are each of the elements, the body, the emotion, and the mind, and how he has to work past them. Now, because you all came on Ash Wednesday, I'm going to give you all the key to this sermon series. I'm going to let you guys know something. And those of you who are watching online, you can listen too. So, the key to all of this, which I will get into in the sermon series, but not as directly as I'm going to right here, has to do with that scripture we read about the manna. Now, you all know that story, right? Israelites, they're in the desert. They don't have anything to eat. And so God is placing manna in front of them, right? This kind of flakes, this bread that they can eat every day. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people get caught up in the literalness of this story. Like, we think to ourselves, if you're thinking to yourself, boy, that would be awesome if God put a buffet out on my lawn every morning for me to eat. I think we might be missing the point of the story here. The idea of the story, in my opinion, is that God provides spiritual nourishment for us. And here's how that works. It's a great metaphor for this. So in this story, if you read it closely, what you see is that God says, and you can see it in what Judy was reading, that you're only supposed to take as much as you need, right? So the idea is you're hungry, you take what you need, but nothing more. And we didn't read this part, but what it says is if you do take more, what'll happen is it'll actually go bad. It spoils, right? So this idea plays on all of these. So they're in the middle of the wilderness. They have nothing to eat. So they have the bodily need, hunger, right? So God provides that. But then you have the anxiety in your mind of, am I going to have enough? So you store it up for yourself. And then, of course, that leads to the thoughts of, I need to keep this for myself. And it has all of those things together, all of that. And the idea is that if you just have faith that you're going to be okay, God's going to take care of it for you. That's the idea, right? Now, to me, the metaphor in all of this is that you have the spiritual nourishment that you need literally right in front of you. It's literally right there. The manna from heaven that we're talking about, it's right there for you all the time. But you can't access that, and you can't eat that, you know, I'm using that metaphorically, if you got this pinball machine going around in your head. It's just not going to work, right? Because if you're doing, if you're jumping between the body, the mind, the emotions, all these things, if that's what's happening to you, then you're not going to be able to see that manna that's right in front of you. And so if I'm going to use this analogy, let's use this pinball machine analogy a little bit further. So I know in pinball you don't want the ball to come down, right? That's kind of like the whole point. But in this analogy, you do. So the idea is that you want that to fall. And the only way that it falls, right, is if it stops hitting all of those bumpers that are forcing it around. And so the idea is that once those are calm, the ball falls to the bottom. And once it's down there, that is when you can get access to your spirituality. That's when you get access to God. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you were here for the sermons that I preached in January, you might remember that the last one I preached was a sermon that says God is everything. And the idea is that God is literally everything all around you. But you can't see that if you're up at the top. That's not possible. You can't experience that if you're at the top. All those things have to be calmed for you to be able to experience that, to have the overview effect moment. If you don't know what that means, go back and watch the sermon. So the idea is you need to see that or be down there for that to happen. Now, the other cool thing about this is that once you're at the bottom, using the paddles, and you shoot that ball back up, now your body, your mind, your emotions, they are actually operating out of your spirituality. They're no longer controlling you. The spirituality is actually what is controlling them. And that's what you want to have happen, okay? And if anybody comes in and says, oh, I don't understand what he's talking about, you do, okay? You understand the rest of what this series is going for, which is what we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks. We're going to talk about how you can gain control over these things and how ultimately you can access that spirituality, which is at the core of your being. And we talked about Jesus doing that tonight, obviously in the temptation. It's all right there. However, he does it again and again and again, and he teaches on it, and he shows us how to do it. And the whole goal of this is exactly what this sermon series is called. It's called Breaking the Cycle, right? The cycle is what's happening up there in that pinball machine so that you can discover the spirituality that is inside of you right now. And as Jesus walks towards the cross, that's going to be the journey that we will take. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.